After months of wrangling, House Speaker Steve Swigum finally got his wish and changed the makeup of the IRRB board to include three so-called citizen seats. The idea was to allow qualified non-legislators to serve. Governor Ventura appointed Hibbing business owner Patricia Ives, who showed up at her first board meeting eager to take part, only to find one of her fellow citizen appointees, former legislator and board member Joe Begich, railing against the very idea of citizen involvement. Begich said the Board of Politicians was doing just fine and told Senator Jerry Janicich the law allowing citizens on the board should be changed.
Who represents this area but you people that are elected? You have the pulse of the area. If we get the majority back and the Democrats in the House, the first bill ought to be from Janicich, because you're the guy that caved in, Jerry. The first bill that you ought to get is to put it back the way it was.
Begich's speech was IRRB oratory at its finest. Patricia Ives describes the meeting as an eye-opener, but says she expects things to go more smoothly in the future.
I guess I would could describe it as I was aware that there was some grandstanding going on and a little bit of theatrics, but I was told by some staff people that are quite a bit more experienced than I am that this was necessary. It had to be done and to get it over with, and then the meetings would continue on like they should.
House Speaker Steve Swigum says the appointment of Begich as a citizen, selected by Senate Majority Leader Roger Moe, while legal, is hardly what he had in mind.
His appointment, I think, again, only smacks of the good old boys' power control, all internal power. It kind of runs contrary to the intent of the legislation, which was to get real citizens, not politicians, not professional politicians, but real citizens on the board.
Swigum represents Kenyon in southeastern Minnesota. He says he was spurred to try to change the board when he heard stories of IRRB board members bullying businesses to relocate in their districts. Swigum's views of the IRRB are not just held by non-range Republicans. Local business owners have long considered the agency a purely political entity. Bonnie Fina is president of K-Byte Electronics in Hibbing, a business she began 25 years ago. Now with 630 workers, K-Byte is one of the few large employers in the region not connected to mining. Fina says she'd like to see more partnerships between the IRRB and local businesses because when economic development money starts flowing, homegrown businesses are more likely to stay around. She's seen firsthand the length cities or in fact states will go to lure businesses away.
I've had a minimum for the last 2 years, letters from governors from other states, mayors from other communities, inviting me. They would send jets to pick me up. They would give me buildings. They would give me tax-free benefits. You know, the bottom line is that if the person that's at the helm of the company doesn't want to be there, they're not going to be there.
But area business owners' long-standing disenchantment with the IRRB is mixed these days with newfound optimism. They hope citizen appointees Patricia Ives and Sandy Lehman will counteract the board's political atmosphere. They're also pleased by Ventura's appointment of Commissioner John Swift, a local resort owner. Swift comes across as modest and soft-spoken and is described by others as someone able to build bridges. In the past, he too voiced his own frustrations about the board members, once dismissing them in a letter as clowns. These days, he's more diplomatic.
I think that in the past, they have done a good job when politics didn't get in the way of decisions.
Under Swift, the agency has established a business recruitment office in the Twin Cities, put more focus on helping existing businesses, and is pursuing an initiative begun by previous Commissioner Jim Gustafson to bring information technology companies to the range. Swift has reaffirmed the agency's focus on economic development rather than community improvement grants, a decision that is not popular with everyone.
We can no longer afford, though, to spend money on tennis courts, on crossroads that have nothing to do with economic development. When you look at the mission of this agency and the statutes that govern this agency, the primary objective is to bring diversified employment to the Taconite Tax Relief Area. and it's a stretch to look at some of those things that have been done in the past and say this is how a tennis court played in economic development.
While the IRRB continues trying to bring new businesses to the range, it is also putting money into what many hope will be a resurgence in the mining industry. The agency is contributing $20 million to help the area's first steel plant, Minnesota Iron and Steel, get off the ground. The company could eventually employ up to 1,000 people. A Colorado-based company, PolyMet, is test drilling for a proposed mineral mine, another first in the region. Don Hilligas, whose family runs Ranger Chevrolet dealerships in Hibbing and Ely, echoes the feelings of many when he says he's delighted to come full circle back to mining.
You know, the other jobs don't pay as well as the mining industry does. And we see it in the customers that come in here. The mining people are able to spend more money than most of the other people.
The average wage in mining is $60,000, a figure most businesses can't or won't meet. There's also a certain nostalgia among many Iron Rangers for the industry that formed their towns and brought their ancestors to the area. Even as the IRRB tries to ease the area's reliance on one industry, local business owners are pragmatic and blunt. They say the IRRB's efforts are fine, but no one has any illusions there would be anything on the Iron Range today if the mines disappeared. In Duluth, I'm Amy Radel, Minnesota Public Radio.